Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I'm looking at the readings for this Easter Sunday, and what a day this is. What God has done for us is beyond anything. I mean, anything that we've seen in this life. God has given us every opportunity. I pray that through these readings that God will wake you up. Wake you up to the realization that Jesus died for you. He didn't die for a mass of people. He knew you, and he died for you. And some of the people he died for have turned away from him, or they don't care. They're lazy. Please, brothers and sisters, take a look at this inestimable gift that God has given us. He died for us. I think about that, and I sometimes just stop on that very short little sentence and just keep repeating it to myself. How could I not honor him and glorify him? Let us together be more a people who thank our God for what he has done for us. I did that sometime. No, daily. Thank you, Lord, for this day. May I serve you better today than I did yesterday. Just open your heart to him. He loves you. So we take a look at the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 34 and then 37 to 43. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him, everyone who believes in him, do you believe, will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." God is offering you a clean slate. God is offering you then the opportunity to come to heaven. Brothers and sisters, don't just say, "Well, that's just an idea or just somebody's pious thought or something." No, this is the reality of what God will do. But it tells us that they put him to death by hanging on a tree. And this man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance. Think of that, to the apostles who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, and he commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Brothers and sisters, it's fine this Easter Sunday to take some time and just say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me." Is Thanksgiving part of your Easter? It should be. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Let's all say it together to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. And say it throughout, if you can, save it throughout the Easter season, but certainly this weekend, say it a lot. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Think of that. His mercy endures forever. Well, I can wait then. You have no idea how long you have. I don't. I don't know how long I'm going to live. You can't plan that. You can't plan to die. Well, I suppose you could, but that would be suicide, which is not God's intention, ever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. Is it wonderful in your eyes? Do you pay attention to what God is doing? And the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6b to 8. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? Clear out the old yeast so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. For our paschal lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. For our paschal lamb, Christ has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And then let's take a look at the gospel from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 9. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." Can you imagine their agony? So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down. He saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. And then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. This is a day, brothers and sisters, this is a day to celebrate. In fact, it should be a whole week, Easter week. Should be a whole week of celebrating. And thank God. Thank God in your prayer. Thank God before meals. Make it a celebration. It might have to be small and little, but continue it through the Easter day, that whole first Easter week. Let it be a day where we just celebrate what God has done for us. And then, here I come. But then to ask ourselves, where do I fail here? Where am I proud, angry too quickly, impatient? These are the ways, brothers and sisters, these are ways we can give thank you. Yes, say the word thank you. But it's by our actions that we show we mean that we are thanking God for what he has made possible for us, and that we can be with him in heaven someday. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I pray that you may follow him with all your heart. I want to close with this. Pope Francis said this, and I want to make sure you've all heard it, because I didn't at the beginning. At dawn, the women went to the tomb. There an angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. He is not here, for he is risen." They heard the words of life, even while they stand before a tomb. And then they meet Jesus, the giver of all hope, who confirms the message and says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not yield to fear." This is the message of hope. It is addressed to us today. On Easter, we acquire a fundamental right that can never be taken away from us, the right to hope. It is a new and living hope that comes from God. It is not mere optimism. It is not a pat on the back or an empty word of encouragement uttered with an empty smile. No, it is a gift from heaven, which we could not have earned on our own. Jesus plants in our hearts the conviction that God is able to make everything work unto good, because even from the grave, he brings life. The grave is the place where no one who enters ever leaves. But Jesus emerged for us. He rose for us to bring life where there was death, to begin a new story in the very place where a stone had been placed. He who rolled away the stone that sealed the entrance of the tomb can also remove the stones in our hearts. So let us not give in to resignation. Let us not place a stone before hope. God is faithful. He did not abandon us. He visited us, entered into our situations of pain, anguish, and death. His light dispelled the darkness of the tomb, and today he wants that light to penetrate even to the darkest corners of our lives. Even if in your heart you have buried hope, do not give up. God is greater. Darkness and death do not have the last word. All you have to do is open your heart in prayer and roll away, however slightly, that stone placed at the entrance to your heart so that Jesus' light can enter. You only need to ask him, "Jesus, come to me. I admit my fears and tell me too. Courage. With you, Lord, we will be tested but not shaken. And whatever sadness may dwell in us, we will be strengthened in hope, since with you the cross leads to the resurrection." Alleluia, brothers and sisters. Alleluia. This is a time to thank him. He is risen indeed. He lives to die no more. He lives the sinner's cause to plead, whose curse and shame he bore. The Lord is risen indeed, attending angels here. Up to the courts of heaven with speed, the joyful tidings bear. Then take your golden lyres and strike each cheerful chord to sing to our risen Lord. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.